Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the latest episode of Grand City 93. This is your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and is joining me is the guy that stood outside in the cold somewhat last night to watch the Kickers win over JMU. It's Mr. Matt Myers. How are you doing, sir?
Doing all right. That felt tropical compared to the idiocy I experienced in Minnesota back in February. So, yeah, if you keep on adding, 40 degrees each game I go to, I'll probably get bad pretty quick, but could go for one more, level up.
Yeah. Are you still trying to get the frostbite out from that game that was terribly cold?
Wasn't great. But when you pack half the clothes that you own and wear them all, it's not terrible in that moment.
No, it's not. It's not too bad. For those wondering, real quick, before we go into the preseason podcast and everything like that, why we didn't introduce Shanier is because Shanier just became the father of a new baby boy. I'm saying it like it's a new car, but he just became the father of a new baby boy. So congrats to him. We gave him some time off so he could be a family man and we don't get cursed out by Courtney for making him do a podcast where he has to go change a diaper.
Yeah, we believe in paternity leave here.
Yeah. You know, unlike some people up in D.C. that wants you to be arcade. That's how it goes. But, man, how excited, before we once again jump into all this, how excited are you for this preseason? Like, where is your level of expectations at?
I'm ready. I mean, it has been, we're coming up on 5 months since last time we were actually able to see the guys in a game that mattered, in a game that counted. I am, feeling the energy, I'm feeling ready to go, and Saturday can't get here soon enough.
Yeah, same here. Like I'm very excited for it. I still kind of find myself debating where I put this team at. Some days, if you ask me, I'm like, oh, this team could definitely be a top two team in USL League. When other days, I'm like, is this going to be a repeat of 2019 where the bottom just gets pulled up underneath us and everyone ends up hurt and we finish like third from bottom of the table? So I'm kind of like still trying to figure where this team is at.
Okay. All right. I guess that's what we'll talk our way through over the next however long this goes.
Yeah. This is my therapy. This is what I need to get ready for next weekend. But yeah, guys. Also, make sure that you check out our Patreon page. We've been plugging it over the past few episodes, I know. But when the season starts up, we're going to be doing some exclusive articles on there, like our match reviews. Matt has our first one for FC Tucson. It's not a whole bunch of money, but just take the time to check it out. If you join our Patreon page, you get exclusive access to our podcast when they first drop. You get exclusive access to those articles and things of those nature. So just keep an eye on that. But how we're going to do this is we're going to break down each of the new signings in the very first part, tell you what to expect from them, how they're going to play, things of that nature. So the very first one I have.
How about before that, we just run through who's back? What are the familiar faces?
God, I'm so ready. Thank you. See, Matt, this is what I have you on the show for, because I'll be forgetting stuff. All right. So, returning players, of course, everyone knows Akira's back, Ethan Bryant, Austin Kazi, Jalen Chrysler, Nathan Ani, Chris Cole, Neil Vignoles, Zaka, Matt, Jonathan, Emmy, and Luke. So, that's everyone returning.
All right. So out of those names, who are you most excited to see back? I mean, obviously, there's one big obvious name on that list, but who else?
Emmy.
Yeah. Who else?
I'm stuck between Ethan and Neil. The only reason I'm stuck between those two is because I'm excited to see what Neil is going to look like going into season two under Darren's system. Because there was parts last night he played very centrally compared to last year where he was kind of out on the wings and it wasn't. You could see he was comfortable there, but it wasn't really his favorite spot. Ethan, just because of how he played last year and the combination he had with Matt Bolduc. What about you? Who are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited to see Jalen Chrysler back again. He gives some continuity in the back line. But last year seemed like his, I think it actually was his first full year as an extended starter at the professional level. And I think he really grew into that role as, you know, the course of the year went on. I think early on we were wondering who was going to pair up with, you know, Yvonne in the back there, and it didn't take long for it to be like, okay, Jalen's the guy. Jalen's somebody there. So I think there's opportunity there for him now to be able to grow into a leader in the back line because, you know, the other three guys who started back there, you know, 2.5, depending on left back. Cole started some of the games. He's back again. But most of the back line is new. So having, you know, Jalen there, be able to provide that leadership, you know, we saw last year, he can just erase anything out of the air that comes in. So I think that's really, really an underrated skill. It's not, you know, the modern, you know, kind of sexy skill of a center back of, oh, let me, you know, be able to, you know, pass the ball 40 yards out of the back, you know, blah, 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 blah. He can defend well. He can get the ball out of trouble. That's what I care about first and foremost with my defenders. So I'm happy to see him back, excited to, you know, see him there. Again, you know, obviously Emmy is, you know, 1A, 1B, and 1C for anyone who's watched the team the last 2 years. You know, I think, you know, the other one, you know, might be Zaka, you know, because not that he didn't, you know, do a lot of stuff for us last year, but this is his second year in America now. And I think anybody who, you know, moves to a new location, much less a new country, there's an adjustment period. There's a settling in, you know, period. And now that, you know, he presumably knows the culture more, he's, you know, I'm picking up, you know, bits and pieces here and there through social media that, you know, he's becoming more comfortable even with English and being able to communicate, you know, with his teammates on the field, off the field. I think that's only going to help to improve his abilities, you know, out there.
Yeah, I think another player too that I want to give a shout out to that I'm excited to see is definitely Jonathan Bolaños. He was garnering some interest from bigger clubs up in USL Championship and definitely MLS. So I'm excited to see how he does in year three. How he's looking to go. I actually like the sample you made about Jalen, because I think when we had him on the show, he talked about how year one, he was a little bit more reluctant to speak out and speak up about certain things that were going on. Not like nothing bad, but just, you know, just your first year here, you don't want to like overstep boundaries or anything like that. So I think going into year two, definitely being that leader, he's going to be a lot more vocal.
Yeah. And absolutely, yeah, you know, to continue on the long, you know, history of absolute, you know, crap movie comparisons on here, kind of look at him almost, you know, kind of like a, you know, Bruce Banner, you know, Hulk sort of scenario, because you see Jalen, you know, everyday, you know, life is, you know, communications, you know, very, you know, mild-mannered guy, you know, big old teddy bear in every way. You see him get out on the field, he can be a nasty, you know, dude out there.
Yeah,
you know, he turns it on. He's like, he's not afraid to lay into you, you know, physically or verbally. So I like that.
I think on what was it? It was our show that we did with him on the very first interview. He seemed a little timid at first, and like he wasn't like, I don't want to say the wrong thing, I don't want to mess this up. But the more we got into it, he got a lot more comfortable. Like Jalen outside of soccer is like a real cool, laid back guy on the field. Whew, yeah. I think this man might have invented some new cuss words.
Let's hope even more new ones this year then.
In good situations. So yeah, so now we got players that are not in the team anymore. So we try to do this list to the best of our ability. And these are where they are right now. So hopefully if someone signs, we won't know because we won't know. So first we're starting out with Mr. Stanley Alves. He left the club. Hernan Gonzalez, TBD. We knew he left the club, but we don't know as of where he's at right now. Mumbai has also left the club. Zev Talib. I know people are like, well, he wasn't with the team at all last year, but we actually found out through some Instagram digging. He's retired, and he is coaching out in San Diego. Helping out with college players.
Flip back to Mumbai. He just signed on with Bay Cities out in NISA. This last week. He's got himself a home now.
Okay, so that's where he is. All right. So Victor Flat, he's at Cincinnati Flago. Devontae, he's retired. I last talked to him. He's down in Clemson with his wife. Denzo is at Northern Colorado, who's the new USL League One team out there. Are they in Fort Collins? Is it Fort Collins?
They're, right? they're somewhere up north. I don't think it's Fort Collins itself. That's probably the closest place where anything actually is, from what I understand.
Okay. Okay. Austin Avisa. Don't know where he is. I'm trying to remember who else. Oh, Avon, he retired. Just got married, so congrats to him. Juan Pablo, I think this one was surprised me the most, that he retired, because I was really expecting him to come back. Ian Antley, he signed with Tormenta over the offseason. Esteban Calvo, as you know, he was signed with the team, but due to issues of getting back into the country and things of that nature, he was released at the start of February. Olex Anderson, he's down with North Carolina FC. And Sam Solomon, he's on with the Maryland Bobcats. So, Matt, let me ask you this. Like, is anyone on this list that you think the Kickers are going to miss the most over the course of the year?
Oh, geez. That's a tough one. well, it's tough. You know, two main reasons and stuff. I think the face value answer, you know, is obviously Yvonne. You know, he's been a, you know, all-league caliber center back. You know, the last 2 years, mm-hmm. even if he didn't actually get the formal recognition, we all know that he was, you know, a top guy, you know, back there. So anytime, you know, you lose somebody like that, it doesn't help. Yeah. The reason I said it was a tough one is because in theory, losing Ian Antley, you know, should hurt us, but we saw him for 30 minutes last year. And, you know, the year before that, yeah, he started strong, but then halfway through the year, we lost him. You know, injury that year as well. So the idea of Ian Antley is a big loss. The actual on-field product, when he's on the field, big loss. The actual product, it's tough to say. I mean, he could storm back with, you know, Tormenta and do great things down there, you know, for them, just like his brother did. But I also don't, you know, blame either party for looking to move on.
Yeah, I think. Well, you already said Yvonne. I think another one that's is going to be a big miss is definitely Victor Flock. You know, he was one I was very fond of. He's a great passer out of the midfield. He was someone that can easily connect play and whatnot. And I'm interested to see how he does in Central Valley. I think the thing that hurt him last year was signing Zaka, and him and Zaka did so many similar things.
Yeah, that I think Neil's presence in the team too probably, you know, hurt his playing style as well, because not that they play the same type of role, but neither one of them are the fleetest of foot. So having both of them in there, you know, together really
slow down
limited mobility in the midfield.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, it definitely kind of slowed down things. I think also another player that obviously a lot of these I felt like either A, got hit by that pandemic. It never really got that chance again, like such as Stanley Alves, Devontae, or just injuries just derailed the progress they were making about to break through the first team. So once again, like Stanley, Devontae, Ian, Mumbai. Yeah. And some players just didn't plan out. Like Olex Anderson, when we signed him, it was a lot of hype around him. But it's one of the things that we pointed out on our show, and also check out Walker 90, who is a podcast that covers all around League One. They did an interview with John Bradford, the head coach at NCFC, and we were just talking. And one of the things that he even pointed out was, like, Olex is a great player, but you really have to, you know, curtail him from being offsides a whole bunch, which can stagnate plays. And that was something that was kind of evident last year within Darren's system about how he wouldn't always track back, things like that. So I think they're going to be misses, but I think the players that Darren had brought in that we're going to talk about can kind of help plug in these holes.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's always going to be turnover. Turnover is good in any organization to a certain degree. You want to keep, you know, fresh faces, you know, fresh energy, you know, new ideas, you know, coming in. But you know, you want to make sure you have that continuity as well, so that way you're not starting brand new every single year. So I think there's a good balance of that.
Yeah, and that's always been one of the issues with the Kickers. I mean, it's not an issue, but it's just more so one of the things that's kind of hinder us about how to build this team out. Because I want to say the last time we brought this many players back from a preseason, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, was like, what, 2015, 2016?
I'm trying to think back. Yeah, I think there were a decent number that actually, you know, carried over to 19 to, you know, 20, you know, that were already under contract from the Bulo era. And they're just under contract, that Darren might not have had a choice of if they were, you know, sticking around or not, whether he wanted them or not. Yeah, I'm thinking like your Charles Boatengs of the world, where, yeah, he disappeared once Darren got here and was still on the roster, because I don't think their play styles clicked necessarily. but yeah, you know, it's a good point that, look, there's always going to be a bunch of turnover at this level, especially, you know, because, you know, guys are looking to be able to move up. I mean, you're not getting rich playing, you know, soccer in Richmond. So, you know, guys might want to, you know, move up or move along. You know, like we saw with guys like, you know, Yvonne and Monty, you know, this offseason, they decided, hey, I'm ready for the next phase of life. And I get it. But yeah, you look back to some of the heydays of, you know, the Kickers past, there was a strong core that was here year in, year out. You know, you think, you know, to the, you know, Ronnie Pascal, Mike Burke, Yombi, you know, Kalungi, you know, all those guys that were, you know, there year after year after year after year after year together. And I don't think that was a coincidence that it also led to a lot of success in that era.
Yeah, it definitely did. I think that was a strong talking point that some teams were trying to make, not some teams, some other podcasts were trying to make about the Richmond Kickers about this year, about how many guys we brought back. And I think that was a real positive point that I saw, that we brought not just guys that were just not bench sitters, but guys that were like positive contributors to the team.
Yeah, key players.
Key players. We brought them back. We didn't lose them on a free to another team, things like that. Now, as you alluded to, Matt, we all know, being in League One, eventually these guys are going to move on. They're looking to make the next step. So, like Ethan Bryan, Jonathan Belongings, when they leave, we want them to leave to a higher level. I think it's the way how I think about it is like this. I want to be in a situation such as like Union Omaha, where they, you know, they won the championship. A lot of their guys moved up to either championship or MLS 2, if you want to say, whatever, to eventually break into the MLS teams. I don't want to be in a situation where, such as OCB, where a lot of their guys are just in the wind or playing in NISA or UPSL. You know, I want the talent that we have to be able to say, hey, I've done a great job here. I'm ready to move up to the next level and keep going like that, so that when eventually that opens the pool up more for the for better players that we can sign and better prospects.
Yeah, I think it absolutely makes sense, because you want to be able to point to, you know, young, even more talented guys to be able to say, hey, look, you come here to Richmond, you play, you know, for Swatsky, you know, we're going to get you to that next level where you want to be, you know, and that's going to be attractive, you know, to them. I think, you know, that's why, you know, we'll talk about some of the guys that, you know, came in this year. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the exact reason why they, you know, showed up, because they, you know, started to see that, hey, Darren puts, you know, guys like me into, you know, better positions where they can be able to advance their careers in some way. Yeah, I think the real sweet spot for, you know, the team long term would, you know, be getting, you know, those, you know, League One level top of the line. You say top of the line, obviously we're never getting like the real top of the line, you know, guys, because you know, they're getting, you know, snatched up and making, you know, big money at early ages, and more power to them. But you know, maybe the top of the line, you know, guys who aren't in the MLS, you know, infrastructure already, or who are looking, saying, hey, you know, I know college ain't going to be for me. I want to start playing as soon as possible. And, you know, I'm willing to join in at, you know, 17 years old or something, and, you know, roll the dice on that. I think getting some of those guys are balancing out with, you know, some veteran guys who might be looking to be able to, you know, put roots down somewhere. You look at, you know, Akira, you know, he's, you know, he's the old man on the team. He's, you know, gradually, you know, transitioning into the, you know, the coaching level. But it's, you know, it sounds like, you know, him and his family, they like it here and they want to stick around, like actually stick around.
Yeah, you're going to be here for the long term.
Right. And, you know, again, you go back to, you know, the, you know, classic Kickers teams of, you know, the, you know, 2000s, you know, early 10s and everything. A lot of those guys, you know, legitimately stuck around Richmond, and a lot of them are still around, you know, town now. So they put down, those roots, and we supplemented those teams back in the day with some talent that was able to move up to MLS, or some other guys who might have come down to finish off their career, and wanted to play one or two more years before they called it a day. So I think it's finding that balance. Not all young guns, because we've seen what MLS 2 teams look like at times, and there's wild variations, what that could be, but the consistency is not always there. But also, just not all, not all just run of the mill, third division level guys either. You got to be able to sprinkle in some guys who, all things being equal, maybe shouldn't be here, but for whatever reason, they are here right now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, with that being said, let's go ahead. Let's talk about these new signings, because I was ready to jump into it for the start of the podcast. So I thank you, Matt, so we can go through all of that. The way how we're going to do this is me and Matt are going to alternate what players we go through. We're going to let you know their playing style, what positions they play, our expectations of the player, and our prediction of the player. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I got Mr. Stuart Ritchie. He plays left back, but he can also kind of play center back and maybe a little bit of left mid if need be, or left wing back. He came from Hanover 96, the second team. He had no appearance for the first team, but he played over there in Germany. And this, I got to say, this was kind of a surprise signing. He's a very quick defender, almost in that same role of how Darren likes his fullbacks to be, very explosive, very good with the 1-2 passes. But watching some of his highlights, some of the things I've seen, he struggles with bigger, or I should say solid players, so kind of like players that are basing up on him. He doesn't get turned very quickly, but he does push us up very high, and he's not afraid to have a shot on goal. I think it was the preseason game against North Carolina FC that I went to go watch. He had a shot on goal from about 30, 35 yards out, just in the run of play. So that's a positive sign to see, because it's been a long time since we've had a goal scorer from one of our fullbacks in a game. My prediction for him is that he is going to be our starting left back. I do expect him, barring injury, which has been a bad thing for us at the fullback spot. I'm expecting him to at least have 2 assists this year as well. He's very positive in how he plays and gets up.
Oh, I'd expect more than 2, to be totally honest. especially the way Darren likes to get the fullbacks way up the field and cross in. I mean, think about how many times Monty and Cole both were able to provide service to Emmy from the left side last year. I think 2 is very conservative, but so Richie's exactly one of the kind of guys I was just referring to, of maybe guys who are raw talent should be at a higher level, but they end up here, because we've seen Joe Gallardo, we've seen Riley Kraft, we've seen guys like this who have youth national team experience, and they ran into a bad situation somewhere. They got dulled a raw hand on something, and they kind of start to fall through the cracks. I mean, the guy's 20 years old, and he's already got some experience, overseas. I think that can only help. I mean, overseas is not the magic elixir like a lot of people might want to think it is, but he's been in professional environments for a few years already. So I think that can be nice, and I think he's a guy who might be here with the eye towards, hey, this is going to be a quick stopover. Let me ball out, work my way up, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Also, he's growing a mustache that looks pretty cool. Just gonna throw that out there. All right, Matt, you're next.
He saw the love that Boldic was getting on the jersey photos. He's gotta try to keep up.
Yeah, right. He did see that. All right. Let's see. Yeah, Matt, you're up.
All right. So next on our list, we got brilliantly named forward, Matt Bentley. So Matt Bentley, he's a proper Englishman, loves him some Arsenal, everything like this. But last year he was with Lions Bridge, he was trained with the team during that time. So I think in a non-COVID situation, maybe he would have been able to join up with the team last year, but with all those different restrictions, didn't work out at that moment. But it's not like he's brand new to the kicker setup in any way. Darren Mika got to see him firsthand last year, and I don't think it's a coincidence that he was the first new guy announced even before the holiday season came up. Plenty of experience in the States, spent time at Missouri State, during college. I think he was, All Missouri Valley, a couple times, double-digit scorer pretty consistently for them. Was a top scorer for Lionsbridge last year. I think he was over in England a little bit, just playing with some lower-level, teams to keep, fit and keep fresh, before he got back over here. I think he's probably going to be playing kind of a combo role, combo backup for Emmy and, but also able to shift out to the wing a little bit. He's going to be somebody who's going to bring a good work rate off the bench. Not afraid to do his job pressing. Not afraid to be able to get after it. Big body, he's about 6'1" or so, it seems. So there's a lot of potential there. Do I think he's going to start right away? No, but I do think we'll probably see him as a top attacking sub early on, and there's going to be all the potential for him to be able to win minutes and win a spot, be able to give any of the guys up top a rest over the course of the year.
All right. One question for you. Does he contribute more than Hernan Gonzalez? And how quickly do you get frustrated with him?
So let's hope yes. Because, I was just taught, if you don't have something nice to say. Here's a better question. Here's a better question back for you.
Okay.
Who's got the better hair game? Hernan or Bentley?
That 100%.
All right.
That.
Yeah.
That 100%. I don't know what Hernan was doing with the hair last year, but it's bad. It's bad.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm up next. And I have Mr. Vincenzo Candela. I hope I said it correctly.
I think it's Candela.
Candela? Okay. See, here we go. We're already in mid-season form. Love it. All right. Vincenzo, he plays center mid, but he can also play a little bit of center defensive mid, a little bit further up, and maybe a little bit of left mid if needed. Comes from Tormenta FC, but he also has experience in USL Championship. From what I've seen, mostly of him, he's a box-to-box midfielder, sturdy. Sometimes is a little bit too slow to make the next pass. So what I mean by that is he'll kind of sit on the ball a little bit and wait for opportunities to open up than rather kind of forcing it. So he's safe, but he's not going to be the one to, like, break down lines like Neil or Ethan. But he's a very accurate passer. He can also, like I said, he can play either cam or center defensive mid, and he has a first touch that is with ease. Like, it's very fluid with him. So my very loose prediction with him is I'm kind of expecting him that when he comes in, it might just be we're transitioning to a 4-4-2. I don't see him being a starter, but he's going to be a very important part to this team.
Yeah, I think that's real. Probably, kind of a utility guy in the midfield.
Yeah. That's what I can see. I don't see him being like a starter. Obviously, over the course of the year, injuries and, fixture congestion, things like that. He might get to start here or there, but he's going to have a lot more substitute appearances coming on maybe like 60th, 70th minute than starting for me.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah. All right. Matt, I'll pass it on to you, buddy.
All right, who we got up next? Up next, we got here's my opportunity to struggle with pronunciation. Leonardo Baima, maybe.
I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like on the YouTubes I watched of him. So he's a new signing from Argentina. So dipping back into that well once again. He is well traveled in his career. So he's bounced around the Argentine lower leagues, quite a bit. Came up in the Boca system, and that's great. Great training ground, if nothing else. So we're balancing out the Buenos Aires influence, in the squad. We had Zaka, who's hardcore, River, and I think that's where Emmy's allegiances are. I don't know if he played for them or not, but we're getting one of the other big dog in town, covered Richmond. now as well, but he's bounced around everywhere else. But he also had, you know, a little stopover in Croatia, so he's had some experience, you know, playing away from home before. I think that's probably something to be said for that, very least. Let me ask you, Elliot, when you think of a guy named Leo from Argentina, what's probably one of the first traits you might think of?
Very hard to get off the ball. Scores a lot. It's very hard to get off the ball.
Okay. Well, one of those two I saw in the videos. Didn't see a ton of the goal scoring. He looks like he's, you know, very tidy on the ball. Also looks like, you know, like that other guy, you know, that we've all heard of. Heavily left footed. Like, you know, right foot is there to balance, and that might be about it from, you know, what I was seeing on, you know, online so far. Not necessarily a bad thing, but, you know, he looks to be able to pick out passes most of the time. He's not afraid to, you know, shoot it from distance. He's got a nice, you know, free kick that he can be able to, you know, bring forth with everything. Doesn't look like the quickest guy of all time. So I don't know, you know, not sure where exactly in the team he's going to, you know, fit the best. Like, he can probably play wide left as in that Bolaños role, but he's not going to be the same type of guy out there at all. You know, it might be more in like the Neil type role of you know, kind of connector, you know, creator, you know, sort of situation in midfield. But, you know, I think the potential is there. I think part of it's going to be how quickly is he able to get to fitness. You know, how is he able to adjust to the kind of unique, you know, up and down physicality that League One often brings. But there's promise there. I think, you know, we're going to see him start off as maybe a top reserve, and then we'll see where that takes us.
Yeah. First of all, I need to figure out how is Derek getting all these Argentinians in, and does Richmond need to put in a name change to River Plate Richmond? Because that's what it seems like we're kind of.
I don't think Leo's going to be down for that.
No, he's probably not. But I think he's outnumbered with Chizaki. Chizaki and Zaka both being there. But I mean, it's cool to see another Argentinian in this squad.
Like we said last year, you know, next alternate jersey, light blue and white stripes.
Probably so. Yeah,
that can unify the crew.
That would be kind of cool to see. We're also going to talk about the jerseys later on.
Yeah. The other thing I learned through the research of, we're just going to call him Leo.
Yeah.
Even in Argentina, people who make YouTube highlight clips like to use the worst music possible to lay over all the clips.
How many times did you get the blurry, like, video? You were like, is it my computer or is it just the video quality?
Wasn't great. Wasn't great. Some of the other guys, especially some of the younger guys we'll talk about coming in, looked like they were doing their own videos and they were being a lot more helpful with pointing at, you know, providing little arrows or spotlights on who they were. On this one.
No, it's just there. All right. So I'm next, and I have the guy that I'm very high on and I'm very excited to see is Mr. Dakota Barnathan. He played center back for FC Tucson last year, you know, that team that infamously knocked us out of the playoff race. But it met when I asked you this question, I want your natural reaction to it. Do you think he's the best center back Richmond has picked up since he's been in USL League One?
No.
Okay. So I don't
think he's the best center back we picked up from Tucson since we've been in League One.
So I say this. I think he is just based on, if you look at the last center backs that we've picked up in USL League One, I know obviously Kyle Vintner, Jalen, Nathan Ani. I think Dakota comes in as the most versatile center back and the one able to play the most variation of positions. Where Kyle, you know, Kyle wasn't moving into the midfield. He, don't get me wrong, Kyle was an excellent center back and great captain. I wish he would have stayed more than just 1 year with us. But I think with Dakota, I think there's an opportunity for Darren to kind of I don't know. I know we talked a lot about like a back five or a back three, but then to also have him move more into the CDM spot where you can push Zalkov like we saw in last night's preseason game. That's why I kind of make that distinction of he might be the best center back pickup that we have because it just shows that Darren is looking to change things up a little bit.
I mean, I hope you're right. Yeah, because that would be great for the team if he ends up being, you know, the best center back signing we've had. But yeah, you know, I think we're underrating what Kyle Venner, you know, brought. You know, he had a lot of experience. He was, you know, getting all league accolades coming in. I mean, Dakota, I think he's going to be a really good fit for this team and you know, make a good impact. I don't think he's coming in at this, you know, same level of recognition, you know, that, you know, Venter had.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay though. The other good thing about Dakota is, you know, he went to VCU, so he's coming back to Richmond. Yeah, so he's familiar with the area. He's familiar with, you know, kind of the infrastructure of what's around already. He's got, you know, USL, you know, experience because he played, I think he was Sporting 2, and he's bounced around a couple different teams. So he's, you know, got that good veteran presence in the back, which there's a lot to be said for that, especially with, again, we're going to be talking about a lot of young guys, you know, today, being able to balance that out a little bit. So, yeah, I would love for us to look at back at the end of the year, and I'm like, you know what, Elliot? You were dead on about Dakota.
I hope I am. Just to finish out with him, the last scouting report I had was he's very good in the air, but he's not great at it. Like, it's not something that is his key skill set. Like, Jalen wins those headers. That's Jalen's skill set. Dakota's a little bit better of having the ball on the ground, playing it with the 1-2s. Cutting out those opportunities. So my prediction for him is that he's going to share a lot. How can I put this? He's going to play a lot of minutes at CDM, but he's mainly going to be the center back. So he's going to have a couple of minutes at CDM, might start 2 games at CDM, but the majority of his time play is going to be center back.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah. So I'll let you go on and get the next one, buddy.
All right. Next up, we got Stephen Payne. This guy is going to be your right back this year. You know, 25 right now. I'm not doing the math right. I don't know if he's remembering if he's had his birthday yet or not, but I believe he's in 97. So 24, 25 years old. He's been playing the last few years over in Europe, you know, various, you know, lower league Portuguese, you know, teams. He's, you know, spent 1 year in the college system, UCLA, you know, before that. So he's bounced around a little bit. But again, you know, just looking, you know, coming to Richmond to be able to kind of, you know, re-kickstart the career domestically, you know, had dalliance overseas, you know, coming back, ready to go. Like I said, I have no doubt in my mind he is the starting right back for this season. He's quick. I don't know if I necessarily, you know, say he's fast based off of what I've seen of him so far, but he's quick. And I think I'm okay with, you know, quick in the back line because you just need, you know, there's little short bursts. He looks like he's a very solid positional defender who can, you know, be able to help out with, you know, making some recovery tackles, you know, if he needs to be able to bail out a teammate, something like that. Hopefully we don't see that too often because we don't need to see it. But you know, it's good to see that in some of his you know, various, you know, clips that are out there, that's something that has been highlighted, that has been focused upon, you know, quite a bit. So I think we're going to see, you know, out of pain, a lot more of a offensive contribution than we saw from the Calvo edition of right back, but maybe not as much as we saw from the Antley edition of right back in the Darren system. So he's about, you know, 5'9", 5'10", somewhere around there. So he's got decent size, but he's not huge or anything. So I think, you know, pretty standard for an outside back, you know, in general. But yeah, you know, another guy who's, you know, coming in looking to be able to, you know, make an impact. And I would be stunned if he's not a regular throughout the whole year.
Right. I just also want to apologize. If you heard my phone vibrating, that just means Jamaica has further crushed my hopes and dreams.
What stop now?
Yeah, they're just doing it on purpose at this point now. So back to who we were talking about, Mr. Stephen Payne. I want to ask you this. Do you think there's any possibility we could see him, like, scoot up to, like, right mid?
I mean, I think there's probably the possibility he could do it. But I think the question is, what do you gain out of that versus what you would lose with not having him at right back then?
Okay. Sure. All right. Yeah.
Right. So
that is very true.
Yeah. So it's not a matter of does he have the skill set, it's more of the opportunity cost, you know, versus of who would he displace, you know, moving up the line a little bit, and then who would backfill him. And
yeah, that's true. That's very true. All right. So next we have, I have Mr. Christian Molina. He's a right man coming from the Overlords of USL League One, Union Omaha. He can also play a little bit of central mid. What I've seen from him so far, and talking to a couple of Union Omaha supporters last year, he is a versatile midfielder. He can play either, he can play all across the midfield spots. So pretty much left, right, or centrally. He does like to get off the ball. He is a little hard to get off it, but some of the cons against him is that he gets lost in transition play. And that was something last year, Matt, I felt like I was hopping on a lot last year of like transitional defense, of how we would just get lost in plays. And that's something that I've seen him struggle with this year. So that's definitely something he has to grow into. He's a player that I think is a project player. I think he's really brought in to really, I kind of looking towards year two, if he's still on the team around next year. I don't think he starts a game this year, maybe an Open Cup game against a lesser opponent. But outside of that, I think there's going to be a lot of substitute appearances in the late 80th minute here and there, but I don't see him playing a whole bunch of minutes this year. What do you think about him, Matt?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, definitely, you know, more the reserve level. And, you know, I think he's probably fighting, you know, guys like Luke, you know, for reserve minutes.
Yeah.
You know, right now. And, you know, I think Luke is going to naturally have the, you know, upper hand on that because he's been with Darren for 3 years now. He knows the system. He knows exactly what Darren's looking for, what he wants, all that kind of stuff. I think the biggest thing Molina will be able to bring to the team is championship culture. Right, he's, you know, been around. He's seen what it takes to be able to win at this level, and, you know, hopefully he can be able to bring some of that insight, you know, to the team. It might not be in the role that he ideally wants. I mean, who wouldn't want to start? But yeah, you know, that's a good way to be able to, you know, really ingratiate yourself into the goodwill of the coaching staff.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't know. I'm not trying to be down on him. I don't see him breaking through. You know, it just seems like it's too many people in front of him at core positions that he plays that he's going to break through. So, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, everybody has different roles. Like, not everybody's going to be able to come in and, you know, play, start, you know, 27 games and, you know, play, you know, every single week necessarily. And yeah, when you're on the early part of your career, you might have to realize that if you're not the guy on the field, how can you be the guy off the field?
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. All right, Matt, I'll let you go next, sir.
All right. So next on my list, Eli Mumford. He's a youngin. he's, you know, I think just turned 18. Picked him up from North Carolina Youth, and I don't think he's going to play all year. He's on an academy contract. I think he's here to get the experience. I think he's here to be able to help out in training. And I think if he sees the field, things have gone terribly wrong for us. You know, that's no ill, you know, meant towards Eli in any way, but he's behind Akira. I got to imagine he's behind Austin Causey. Got to imagine he's behind another guy we're going to talk about, you know, shortly. And again, you're 18 years old. No shame in that whatsoever. Being able to train around, you know, professionals, guys who have you know, been through it all for years, including a guy who watched, you know, growing up when Akira was with North Carolina, being able to come up here and train with him now, great outcome for him.
Yeah, and we took a goalkeeper off our rivals. Not bad in my book. I'll take it. Yeah, I'll be shocked if he gets any minutes at all. I'll be shocked.
Yeah. And again, totally okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, fine with me. All right. So, I'm up next. And I'm going to take Chandler O'Dwyer. He's a central midfielder coming from USL League Two champion Des Moines Menace. You might have heard of this team because they're also in the US Open Cup. They just played against Minneapolis City. Which they went there. But it's kind of cool because this is the second Des Moines Menace player that we have on the team. Matt, can you name the other one?
I think we might have talked to him a couple weeks ago. Is it Mr. Jonathan Bolaños?
Definitely is. It is him. He is the other Des Moines Menace player on this roster. But Chandler also played at Christian Brothers University. And the thing about him, I really like him a lot. He plays this deep-lining midfielder, almost like Zaka. And I've seen this in the preseason games. He loves putting the ball out into the channels. So what he'll do is he'll find an opportunity in space or a pocket in space, and he'll see one of the fullbacks making a run, and he'll just kind of just chip it in behind, almost in that sweet spot between the opposition winger and their fullback, and put it right on their foot. I think the only downside to him is just he is a little wiry. His frame is a little bit small, but I think with him being first year as a true professional, and I also think with him also being around players like Zuckerberg, like Ethan, it's weird to talk about Ethan as like this veteran, and the kid's only 20, but he is. I think he'll add a little bit of muscle. So don't be surprised if you see Connor by the end of the year, a little bit bulked up. Not like super bulked up, not like Barry Bonds or anything like that. But I'm expecting from him this year. He'll make a lot of substitute appearances. I also think he will score a banger. I think he'll score one goal that we'll look back on and be like, all right, this might be goal of the season worthy for our end of the year show.
Okay. So here's what I like most about Chandler coming in. So, yeah, he's got the Des Moines experience. Yeah. He has his college ball experience, all that stuff. Think back a couple of years. What was one thing that drove us nuts about the midfield a lot of times?
They were just easily bypassed. Not a lot of progressive passes forward.
Physically, what drove us nuts about the midfield a few years ago?
Oh, they just got beaten off the ball so easily.
Yeah, they were tiny.
Yeah,
Chandler, not tiny. He's like 6'2 or something. So he can give us a nice frame in there. So if we need to be able to shut something down into the game, he can be able to help cut out long balls, help out Jalen and Dakota or Ani or whoever's back there with some of that. So you said he's wiry, but at least he's wiry with some height on him and not wiry and maxing out at 5'4", like we've had a ton of midfielders do in the past.
That's true.
I like that about him. Doing a little bit of background on his time at Christian Brothers, his time at UMass before that. He contributes. I've seen him score some goals. Most of them were with his head. Not mad at that in any way. I think he can definitely help out in the midfield and, like you said, be able to learn from Zaka some of the guys.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think he'll definitely – he'll get a few minutes here or there, maybe taking off Neil and going to that more famed 4-3-3, a little bit more defensive, things like that. So it's going to be cool to see. But Matt, I'll pass the baton on to you, and you are next, my friend. I think we're almost near the end.
We are almost there. So next up, we have Simon Fitch. Simon is trying to go back in my memory. He might be the first, true Academy graduate to make it all the way to the first team on a proper full-time contract. I think that is absolutely awesome. So the first time we saw Simon Fitch, you think back more than a few years ago now, we were playing Swansea City and he came, got a chance to come on. It was late, it was like 85th minute or something, but he got, a nice, little run out as I think like a 15 or 16 year old at that time. And he got a taste. Didn't play in the real seasons then because we were pretty decent then, and he was 16 years old. Went off to college, did a year at GW, transferred back home to VCU. Spent the last few years at VCU being a real contributor, kind of splitting time between defensive midfield and center back. role. He's been able to pop up into big situations and be able to contribute with, you know, a few timely goals as well. Scored against Wake this year, got a couple game winners in A-10 play as well. So I think he's going to be a solid reserve in those defensive roles for us. He might be that potentially fourth center back. He might be somebody who can be able to battle with Dwyer or some of these other guys we've talked about for defensive midfield minutes. But I think he's what he represents is even more important to me than what he brings on the field, because he's somebody who in the press release was saying how, hey, he grew up coming to City Stadium and seeing guys like Mike Burke and Ronnie Pascal and all of them. And it didn't sound like the the same old BS that people say in all of those intro interviews. It was like, oh, love the fans, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, nice lip service. You haven't seen the fans at all or anything else like that. That's what you're just supposed to say. This felt different. This felt real, because what kind of random person is going to name drop guys who were playing 15 years ago?
He's right? One of our own.
It literally is. Actually, literally is. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, I'm going to have a soft spot for him. Hope he forces his way further and further into the lineup and make some contributions. He's also a guy who can be described as wiry, a little more on the slight side of things physically. But like I said, he's contributed at a pretty decent collegiate level, and hopefully he can be able to bring it forward. I think he was also a guy who played quite a bit for Lionsbridge.
Yeah. Man, let me ask you this. How much of your collective mind would you lose if he scores in front of Section O?
I mean, it might depend a little bit on circumstance. But I mean, always lose your mind when somebody scores in front of Section O, because for a long time it never happened.
It didn't.
All right.
It was like a running joke.
They love to score on the other end of the field. Last year got a little bit better about that, but yeah, I mean, look, I also grew up a defender, so I always get a little bit of extra love to defenders who score goals and contribute on the score sheet. So, yeah, let's see it happen. Let's find out. Simon, pop a goal in there, that end, and, we'll see how crazy it gets.
Right. So I have the very last player that just signed, and that's Mr. William Palmquist. He joins us on a free transfer from New Mexico United, who is in USL Championship. I've seen him play a couple of preseason games so far for the Richmond Kickers, and I'm not going to lie, I am very impressed with him. I think he's brought in to be the backup to Akira, but I think he's going to be battling with Kazi for those minutes. So this US Open Cup game that we still don't know our opponent by because of Mother Nature. It's going to be interesting to see who's going to be starting that, because I don't think it's going to be Akira. I don't think you're probably going to see Akira play in the US Open Cup until maybe, further down the line. But who gets that first start? I think it's between Will and Kazi. Very good in the air. Very good in the air. Very balanced. A little bit high on him, but I think the main concern I have for him is how he deals with rushing. Kind of what I mean by rushing is, like, how Akira has this great ability to get low very quick and get to a center back, to a striker's feet and kind of rush them. That's the kind of thing I have an issue with, because some of the clips I've seen is he's a little bit slow as his decision making. He doesn't know, do I want to rush him or do I want to stand on my line? So I think just with more time and learning, he'll get better at that. But I think he will be I think he'll be the backup. I think he'll get the start in the US Open Cup game just because he has experience in the USL Championship. I also think he will make two appearances this year, and he will actually play better than Austin Avisa did last year.
All right, so you think you're going to try the Avisa plan again, and hopefully it doesn't go as terribly as it did last time.
I don't think I've ever seen a worse debut than that.
There's been some stinkers.
But I mean, like, in terms of, like, for a goalkeeper for the club, because normally most goalkeepers that come to Richmond, they do decent, or well. He literally had one game, two blown saves in that game, and then we did not see him after that. I mean, granted, he caught a concussion and everything like that, but we did not see him after that.
I'm not going to throw out other names of not great debuts because that would just be mean right now, but we can talk about that after. Yeah, I don't know. When I was watching his highlight clip on YouTube, I never saw him allow a goal. He must be the best goalkeeper ever.
Yeah, that's how it always goes. They never show the bloopers. They always show like, oh yeah, I'm the next Manuel Neuer.
Yeah, I mean, he played starter for multiple years at University of Denver, which is a pretty solid program. They've made some runs in the tournament over the years. So, he has a pretty decent pedigree on that level. Like Elliot said, he spent some time in New Mexico last year. Didn't play for them because he came in partway through the year, but still that's good experience in a professional setup. So, anybody who can be able to come in and potentially, push, the rest of the goalkeeping crew a little bit more, be able to provide another set of solid hands, can only be a good thing.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to have. So Matt, out of all of these signings, who are you most excited to see this year?
I think it's either Richie or Payne. I mean, last year the preseason show, I was coming in singing the song of Monty nonstop. Started really well, maybe looked like a genius first week or two, and then it kind of declined a little bit. So I'm just going to go right back to the well and go right back to the outside backs once again. And where my heart is.
Yeah, that's not a bad, place. I think for me, like I said, Dakota, Matt, I'm really excited to see Matt. Definitely have to go. He had yesterday, which was all effort, nothing else. Wasn't no skill. It was just 100% effort.
Oh, cool. For the people that weren't there, how'd that goal happen, Elliot?
Oh, God. Let's see if I can remember correctly. So it was a back pass from JMU center back to the goalkeeper, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the JMU goalkeeper mishandled it. And Matt just takes a beeline sprint as soon as the center back passes to the goalkeeper. He just sticks a foot in. And it just happens to, it just slow rolls over the line. And you can see the JMU goalkeeper, panic as he tries to rush his back. So it was a good goal.
All effort. He just took it right off the keeper's foot and then put the exclamation point as the ball was rolling a foot away from the goal line.
Yeah, right. That's all it was. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about preseason. Let's go on and dive into what we expect to happen because we actually do have a game coming up this upcoming weekend. So thoughts on preseason, Matt? What were kind of your big takeaways from it?
So it was tough, because you want to try to balance out, getting the guys really together and really being able to meet the long-term needs versus the fan desire of, I want to run up the score on, all these kids. Yeah. Cause a lot of the games were against college teams. So part of you was just crush them, even though that might not actually be the long-term best thing for the team. So it looked like there's a lot of 1-1s, 2-1 type results throughout the preseason. They were able to do pretty well against Loudoun, who's actually doing well so far in the championship.
Yeah.
So
see that happening.
Yeah, not mad at that in any way. Had a draw with Charleston, beat North Carolina 2-1. So overall, I think it's probably pretty good. I think the big takeaway is at least we haven't heard any stories of major injuries, coming through in preseason. Mm-hmm. So we're not taking a step back in any way like we have in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that front. I think we did see a couple of players play in different positions, different little formation shapes, such as Matt coming in more centrally or Dakota playing center defensive mid, things like that. But outside of that, I think everything's kind of going to plan of how Darren wants it to go and Mika. So it's exciting to see. What's your biggest question going into the season, however?
I think for me, I think it's going to be the same thing that we talked about a lot last year. If goals aren't coming from Emmy, where are they coming from?
Yeah.
Right? You know, Bolaños, you know, took a step up last year. We need him to take another step, you know, potentially. We need goals to come from somewhere else because I think, what was Oleks the next top scorer after that with like two or three?
No, Bolaños with three.
No, I mean after Bolaños.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it was Oleks.
Yeah, so
it was Oleks.
You know, getting another, you know, guy who can put the ball into the net semi-regularly. Yeah, so whether that's Bentley, whether that's Bolduc, whether that's Neal, whether I don't care who it is, you know, but being able to diversify the attack a little bit more. I mean, I think Emmy's perfectly capable of, you know, keeping on the same pace again, but, you know, I'd like for it to, you know, not always have to come from him because I think that can then actually open him up a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I think I'm on the same line with you. Is like, goal scoring is my biggest question coming in just because I'm expecting a lot from Bolaños, Neal this year. I think my other concern is, can this team put a string of victories together? You know, obviously we had that 5-game set where we won 5 games in a row, and that's great. But if you take that out, it was long periods of the season where we didn't even have 2 draws back-to-back. It was loss, draw, win, draw. You know, it wasn't nothing stable. So I want to see if this team can kind of put positive results together and can they get out of negative parts of games quicker, you know, and not just be like loss, draw, loss, kind of like loss, draw, win, win, you know, you kind of build up from there.
Now, that makes me realize I actually have another answer. That's probably more of my real answer now that I think about it.
What?
Can this team actually put together results away from City Stadium? You know, so last year, home record, best in the league. You know, lost the first game, you know, due to unfortunate own goal. After that, unbeaten the rest of the year at home. Definitely want that to continue. Like, don't get me wrong. You know, not interested in losing home games. You know, that's not fun for anybody. But the road record, that was rough last year. As in, like, really, really close to the bottom of the league rough. And the biggest reason of why that team didn't get a home game in the playoffs. You know, so not saying they have to run the table on the road, also okay with it if they do, but at least, you know, getting, you know, turning some of those losses that happened away into draws and maybe turning another draw or two into a win. So that way, you know, the home record doesn't have to be almost perfect to be able to carry the team into the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good thing as well. I mean, hopefully more away wins will be positive than what they were last year. Because we definitely are going to need them if we're going to make a playoff push. So let me ask you this. Since we just broke through this whole entire roster, which player do you think is going to have a breakout season this year, given new signing or already on the roster?
Yeah, I think breakout player of the year will be is Neal too established to be breakout?
No, because I actually think Neal Vinny Olsen
I think he's ready to take the next step and, you know, kind of be that, you know, midfield maestro that we were hearing a lot of hype about when he, you know, came to town last year.
It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be very interesting to see. Because I'm expecting them a lot from him. If he plays a lot more centrally, like we saw in the preseason games, I think his combination play with Emmy and Bolaños is going to be on a whole nother level. You know, definitely second year with them is going to be different.
And your call on this? Are you also going Neal or are you going somewhere else?
I'm going Neal. All right. Ooh, Neal. Like I said, I think I said it on Walking 90. I think I had Neal as the assist leader for this year.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, God. If he does become the assist leader, like, I have no problem with him. Like, all right, guys, I'm out. Like, I have no problem.
Yeah, we'll deal with that if it happens.
Yeah, true. All right. Make sure I'm following the script right. So, in league news, we do have a couple of new teams. For the first time ever, this league is completely independent. It's been a long time since a league outside of MLS has been, well, not outside of, well, a USL league has been completely independent. We got Northern Colorado coming in, Central Fuego, Charlotte dropped down from the USL Championship. So that's 11 teams. We play everyone three times, so it's a more balanced roster, I mean, balanced schedule. U.S. Open Cup opponent, we still don't know yet because the game between Lynchburg and Nova FC, which I'm glad I did not go to that game because I was really, really close to going. Got two lightning delays and is postponed to March 30th. So if you're going to the Meet the Team event coming up soon, you actually can watch them play. They play at 4 o'clock on ESPN Plus. You can see them play then. Any news from you, Matt? What do you think?
In terms of Open Cup or?
Oh, I mean, yeah, Open Cup. Like, what do you think about it? What are you expecting? Who do you want to see us play? Let me ask you that.
So Open Cup. So if Lynchburg wins, we get to play them at City Stadium on, I think it's the 5th or the 5th or the 6th, one of those 2 dates.
Yeah, one of those two.
So who doesn't love a home game in the Open Cup? Right. I think those are usually, you know, really fun, especially against the small teams because there's not a big crowd. So you can really hear the guys and you can really, you know, get on the other team even easier in that moment. So those are always fun. If Nova wins, you know, kickers are coming up to Leesburg, you know, for a midweek game. So not as easy for most people to get to, much easier for me to get to. But, you know, it might, you know, cause a little bit of, you know, other trouble, you know, traveling, weird things can happen sometimes. You know, it might, you know, be that little bit of extra wear and tear that you know, really don't need early in the season. So I think, you know, self-interest aside, I think I'd rather, you know, see Lynchburg. But either way, I mean, these are both teams, based off what I saw in a little bit of that stream, that the kicker should beat. And because really that's going to get us to the goal of getting to face, you know, championship or hopefully MLS opposition in the near future. You know, realistically, you know, the target is being able to get an MLS team at home. You know, that's the ideal outcome out of all this. So, and depending on what the next, you know, round brings us, if it's not an MLS team, give me another amateur team.
Yeah.
You know, playing a championship team does nothing for me. Like, I don't, it's not gonna be like, ooh, wow, we get to play the River Hounds. I don't care.
I don't care about that. For me personally, I'm on a different side of this. I want to go up to Nova. I do. I want to see this team on the road, play a US Open Cup game because it's been so long, but I kind of equate it to when we play Lions Bridge. It was kind of cool walking in there as the bigger team. And just, you know, that spectacle of it. And I think it keeps the guys a little bit more focused. I'm so I am so scarred by what happened against Crystals FC that I don't want these guys to be complacent and just be like, oh, you know, we got this. We can win this game easily at home and kind of lie on our laurels. Like, if you're on the road, you got to focus. Like, you know, so we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how this team does in the US Open Cup when we find out. We'll find at the same time as you guys, and we might have a written article or two about them. But before we hop into our way too early season predictions, things like that, just real quick plug in again. For the Tucson preview, we're going to do is actually only going to be for the Patreon subscribers. People that are not subscribed to the Patreon, I want you to know, any part of this podcast, you can still listen to. It might be a day or two later, but for Patreon, those who join the Patreon, we want to give them the little perks because they're paying the bills for this podcast. Ain't that right, Matt?
No. Yep.
Yeah.
Dude, Ellie's so, got to pay me. Ellie's got to pay me somehow.
Yeah, exactly. I can't keep paying Matt and, you know, hugs and compliments. So, yeah, so if you join the Patreon, you will get access to that Tucson preview first before anyone else. And that's actually what we're going to do at the end. But Matt, before we get to that Tucson preview, what is your early season prediction for the Richmond Kickers?
I think that the team's going to be a better team this year than they were last year. I think, you know, they're going to get a lot more of the consistency and, you know, some of those, you know, results that were just like really good. I'm mostly looking at North Carolina FC. yeah, that was a lot of, you know, points left on the table against the worst team in the league. So I think, you know, they're going to be able to improve. The hard thing is with this league is really getting a good grasp of how other teams have improved or weakened year to year, because let's be honest, the guys who come in for, you know, other teams, even for a lot of, you know, the guys who come in for the Kickers, we don't know them ahead of time. We don't know who's legit, who's, you know, going to wash out or anything like that. I mean, most of them, we haven't ever seen their names before. Yeah. You know, so, you know, being able to just go out there and say, oh, well, you know, obviously, you know, Tormenta is going to be, you know, amazing this year because they signed, you know, so-and-so from somewhere. I don't know that. You don't know that either. So, looking at what we can control, I think, you know, the team is going to be able to be a lot more consistent. I think we know we have, you know, the best proven goal scorer in this league so far. You know, there's some guys who come down from the championship, but we've seen firsthand coming down from the championship does not always translate in this league, you know, either. So I feel good about what we have. The continuity piece, again, has been really important. You look at the first year, North Texas, you know, they were a young team, but they had played together for forever. You look at second year, Greenville brought a ton of guys back from year one. They won the league. Omaha last year had a ton of returning pieces and supplemented with, you know, one or two new faces. They did great last year. That's a good indicator for me. So if I had to guess, do I think they're going to win the league? I'm not willing to go that far, but I think we're looking at third, fourth place, and that home playoff game will be coming to City Stadium this year.
Yeah. So for me, I think I would set the expectation to this team as a home playoff game. I think anything below that, I think is a negative. You know, I was kind of making the same point last year about how a home playoff game, but I think we got more and more into the year. We kind of was just like, all right, just get in the playoffs, like just secure it. I think this year, this is what Darren's third year, right? Yeah, yep. Third year, more experienced team. I think the expectation is a home playoff game. Now, if that's with the bye, that's great. I think third or fourth, I think it's fine. Either way, a home playoff game in front of City, Section O would be amazing. I think the biggest thing we've just been talking about is what does Darren plan to look like? Like, who's going to be the next one to score more than three goals in a year? Who's going to be the one to provide the assist? Who's going to take over the armband? Who's going to be that voice and leader on the field? Things like that. I'm interested to see how this team lines up, and I think there's no better opponent for us to play against than FC Tucson. I mean, this is a team collectively, I think over the last two games, what, we are giving up six goals against them?
Five
goals against, scored two. I think it's a perfect opponent for us to play. And not saying Darren has been kind of focusing preseason games towards it, but just kind of getting this team mentally prepared for that, because they're coming in. And this FC Tucson team, we're going to talk about it in our preview, is not going to be an easy opponent to play against. So, that's what I have. Any last things from you, Matt?
Looking ahead to the season, yeah, I think, yeah, it's going to be important to get off to a good start. You know, so, you know, we open up Tucson, open up, you know, home against Northern Colorado, you know, and then you get, I think, what is it, an away trip to Chattanooga, away trip to Charlotte?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are four open up, then we get a bye week. So, you know, I think it's really important, at least 7 points from those games. I would like to see at least 9 out of those. Chattanooga away is always a tough one, you know, for us, but Charlotte away, I mean, I think they're going to be the North Carolina FC of last year for the league this year, and we got to put the punishment on them this time around. And and securing the home points. You know, I think getting off to a hot start and letting us be the chased this year instead of being the chasers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. So all that being said, guys, we'll see you guys April 2nd for the start of the kicker season. Those that are Patreon users, stay behind because we are about to give you our preview of FC Tucson, what to expect on that game.
Elliot.
Yes.
What have you been hyping up all offseason?
What have I been hyping up? Oh, my God. The jerseys. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. Look, you even broke out the t-shirt jersey.
I did. Man. Okay, yeah, let's talk about this. I can edit that part out. Yeah. Right. Yeah, let's talk about these jerseys, Matt. First and foremost, these are the best jerseys the Kickers have done. Secondly, I love the retro look. I am a little disappointed there is no red jersey, but given they do a third kit, I expect that to be the red. But the green jersey is so good.
Sorry, were you interested in the green jersey?
Yes, I was. I was really interested in it.
I don't think any of us have heard you talk about it for months and months and months.
Because I've been pushing this. I've been wanting that jersey because they've been holding out. You got to admit, the Kickers front office have been holding out on this green jersey for the longest.
Yeah.
And they pulled it out.
It's a lot better than the last time we went to the green. So, they, you know, brought out a green jersey for, I want to say it was 2012 as well. And it wasn't great. This time around, I like it. You know, and same Adidas template still. It's not anything, you know, cutting edge in any way, but simplicity can work really well in jerseys if you, you know, just do it right. You think back to, you know, for the older folks like me who might be listening to this, you think back to the 90s Adidas jerseys, you know, that were, you know, kind of that thick polyester. The line, the lining and piping on this jersey make it look like that without it being that still. You know, kind of adds in those little, you know, appearance of those ridges and everything, you know, going, you know, through, you know, the chest and all that. Excellent stuff. And, Elliot, how do you feel about the Richmond Kickers being, you know, the new kings of the hotness in terms of jerseys in League One?
It's kind of weird. Hopefully we do better than our rivals up in Wisconsin who have more jerseys than wins last year, and also has fired more coaches than they do playoff appearances. So hopefully we do better in that regard of actually putting results on the field. I think it's just, you know, I think the jerseys are great. I think I actually love the fact they didn't stick with the Kickers K. They kind of went with the old school logo and kind of embedded that in. That looks very nice, very subtle. The green jersey, why I like it so much is because the from far away, it looks just green. But when you walk up on it, it's like the little blue lines, pinstripe lines.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about with like the like fake ridges.
Yeah, so I was like, that's really cool. The white jersey, I was really debating whether I had to get that instead of the green. The white jersey is solid. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's a throwback to where we used to play at U of R because it has the U of R colors in it.
I don't remember that. I could be wrong. I could be misremembering because I was like 9 years old then.
Well, I think like very first year we played on U of R's campus.
And yeah, then first 2 years was over at, you know, on campus at, you know, what's now where their football field is over there before moved to City Stadium in 95. I just think it's a nice looking jersey.
It is. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's
nice again, jersey. It's a way to show that you can take, you know, it is, you can take those templates that Adidas puts out there and put just enough customization in there that they're still unique and they can still stand out in a way. There's nothing overly flashy about it. It's a white jersey with the, you know, Adidas, you know, look for this year of, you know, kind of the thin horizontal, you know, lines with, you know, the navy blue sleeves, but it works.
Right. It does work.
Here's the other thing I like, the underrated thing I like about both these jerseys. At least it looks like this, you know, based off of the photos.
Mm-hmm.
Green jersey got white shorts. The white jersey got blue shorts. None of this monochromatic crap.
Yeah. Do you think we get the green and blue combo?
I don't think that's going to work right.
I'm wondering if they're going to do it. If they're going to pull it, if they're going to be like, all right, we're going to do the green with the blue shorts for just one game for the 30th.
I don't think that shade of green and that shade of blue are going to go together well. I mean, granted, I am the pinnacle of fashion and all that, but.
You are the fashion diva of the podcast.
Obviously. I mean, anybody who's met me can tell that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I know a couple of people are already buying their kits. I think 2XLs are back up, but as far as when they're coming to 2, I don't have an answer to that one.
So when you get your jersey, who are you repping this year?
So this will be the first time I'll ever have a player on the back of it. I went with Luke.
You going Luke? Okay.
I went with Luke.
All right, see. So I got a dilemma, and anybody who's listening to this, feel free to chime in here. Not sure who to get on either one of the jerseys. I'm pretty sure I'm just going to get both of them eventually anyway, so no point in pretending otherwise. Last three jerseys I've gotten. What was that? 2019, Connor Chinaski. 2020, Scott Thompson. 2021, Ivan Magalhães. They all left right after I got their jerseys.
All retired. Please don't do that.
I'm hesitant. Who do I grab this year? Who do I pick up? So any insights, any recommendations, send them my way at RVAIsRed on Twitter. I'm open to ideas here because I'm torn.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be very fun, Matt.
Yeah.
Any last things before we move on to this preseason review of FC Tucson, which I was trying to do. I forgot totally all about the jerseys.
Jerseys. I think we're good.
All right. So, as we said before, Patreon subscribers stay a little bit longer. We're about to do our preview of FC Tucson. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, we encourage you to join. You can join by the link in the bio of this podcast. You can go to our YouTube page or hit me, Matt Archener, up, and we'll give you the Patreon. Patreon website. Does it cost much? I think you can subscribe for as low as $2 a month. It helps us out. We want to grow this podcast. We want to give you guys more content. In order to do that...